You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Federal Premium Ammunition and their new centerfire rifle ammunition Terminal Ascent. Now, the Terminal Ascent has a slipstream polymer tip that helps flatten trajectories and initiates low-velocity expansion at longer ranges. The Terminal Ascent gives you match-grade, long-range accuracy in a bonded hunting bullet, and it comes in a variety of cartridges, including the 6.5 Creedmoor, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 28 Nosler, the 7mm Remington Mag 30-06, and the 300 Win Mag. If you want to find more information about the Terminal Ascent, visit federalpremium.com. And while you're there, check out It's Federal Season, the official podcast of Federal Ammunition.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. With me today are Mike and Andy.
How's it going?
What's up?
Today on the show, we are going to have Jeff DeCarlis, one of the founders and owners of Quest Hunting Company.
Yep.
Quest Hunting Company.
Yeah.
Or hunting tournament, I guess you'd call it. So we're excited to talk with him.
We got some big things going.
Yeah.
Because we've been following it since the beginning, and the growth that they've had just in, 3 years?
This is their third season.
Yeah.
I'm bad at math.
Either way, like, they've grown, I mean, it's gotten immensely huge. Huge. Yeah. I mean, so if, I'd be surprised if people don't know about this already.
And tournaments are fun. I mean, we love coyote tournaments every coyote hunting season. You know, bass tournaments, people are huge in. Mm-hmm. Whitetail tournaments never really were a thing, I guess you'd call it, on a large scale.
They're really kind of some pioneers of this whole thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, my group, like my up north group, we've always had a big buck contest. Just between ourselves. You know, you put in 10 bucks. Person at the end of the year with the biggest buck wins, type thing. So, and he brought it.
New level.
New level. So it's statewide, multiple states.
And they're expanding every year into different states, too.
Yeah.
Right. I think they're in 9 now. I mean, there's a lot more than 9 states in this country. I don't know if people know that. Not all of them have any deer worth of shit, but...
not like Missouri. No.
So, that's the thing, though. Okay, you go to California. I don't even know if they have whitetail or something, but...
I think they just got blacktail.
You would have a tournament for it, right? It's still that state, so you still have a chance to win just like you would anywhere else.
It's not even like Arkansas is competing against Iowa, honest, there's some big differences there.
There's a big difference between Iowa and every other state.
That's true. Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. You're competing against your home state. They also, this year they started, what do you call it, the silver
bracket in Missouri and Iowa only, and you'll hear him talk about that.
We'll let him explain it, but it's a little different, and it kind of makes the not so, I guess, the guys that know that they're just not in the same league as some others, that they can still get in there and compete some.
And still win cool stuff.
Absolutely.
A lot of awesome prizes they got.
They have the coolest prize packages out of any type of competition or anything I've ever seen.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, we're not sponsored by them. We're just saying this stuff because they seem like a really cool, you know, company.
They do. I mean, even job.
Like he was saying, you sign up, you pay the $100 per person, $200 per team, at least now.
Yep.
You get all these discounts off gear from some of their sponsors, where you're getting like half off on stealth cams and stuff like that. And you know, it's worth the sign up half the time. So.
And it might make you get out in the woods a little bit more.
Yeah, you're trying to win something, right? Yeah,
right.
It's not going to make me. I'm going to go, but there's people that it could. So
a lot of like-minded people.
Yeah,
it adds a little something to it if you're into it. I mean, if you just want to, you know, it's whatever. But
yeah, not everything.
It's not all about everybody's deal. Right.
Yeah.
It's not always about the rack and stuff, but it's a little something. If you're into that, then go right ahead.
Yeah, and a little quick disclaimer. We do have some technical difficulties the first few minutes with Jeff. We actually had to hang up with him and call him back, and those got resolved. So, sorry, you're going to hear some feedback and stuff like that in the first few minutes, and that'll that'll go away. So
one of these days we'll get it right.
Maybe. So
amateur hour.
Yeah.
So. All right. You guys got anything else before we get into this?
Enjoy.
All right. Yeah. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, excited about this one today. Got my fellas back with me.
What's going on, man?
How's it going?
First time we've been in studio together for a while, or is this a studio?
We're going to call it the studio.
First time being in your basement for a while?
Yeah. First time being in my basement for a while. It's either been just me or Mike or just me and Andy for a while, so it's kind of nice to be sitting down together and a good one to do it together.
Excited for this one, yeah, absolutely.
Finally, white tail season is just around the corner.
Yep.
And this is just going to get us a little bit more pumped up.
Yeah.
This thing always gets me pumped up.
Today we've got one of the founders of Quest Hunting Tournament, Jeff DeCarlis. Jeff, what's going on, man?
Guys, how are you?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Doing excited awesome, yeah, to talk to you. Jeff is another Missouri fella, so it works out well for us. And so before we get into it, Jeff, why don't you just introduce yourself? We'll get into Quest in a minute. And then why don't you tell us what your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors is?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Well, as you mentioned, I'm Jeff DeCarlis, co-founder. Brian and I co-founded Quest Hunt Co. back in 2017, I guess. Man, it's been seem like 3 years already. Favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors? You know what, guys? I'm Brian and I kind of compete a little bit on this level. Like, he's an avid diehard hunter who can enjoy to fish and likes to fish, still loves it, but not, and I'm just exactly the opposite. I've always hunted almost as a secondary thing to bass fishing, to be honest with you.
Really?
So, yeah, and I've always enjoyed it. It's not like it's just my passion. If I had to prioritize, yeah, definitely in the fishing world. So my favorite thing about Missouri, man, by far is just, I think we don't really appreciate sometimes how many premier bass lakes we have in this state.
Without a doubt.
You know, all within about an hour's drive. So you can go four or five lakes any direction. There's multiple tournaments every weekend. So it's a fishing wise, it's an angler's paradise. So
yeah.
Not only is it good for hunting, man, there's some good water here.
And also, aren't you like down south somewhere near Springfield?
Yeah, we're just east of Springfield. So you got Table Rocks. I grew up on that lake and with my grandpa, so it's always close to my heart. But yeah, I mean, shoot, any of them are good, man. We're spoiled for bass fishing for sure.
Yep. Yeah, we've been hearing that.
Yeah, I guess we kind of take it for granted because, I mean, neither of us, I mean, we're not huge fishermen. But we've always grown up pond fishing.
Yep.
So it's always been, you know, go to the neighbor's pond, catch a few bass, no big deal. But the more we talk with people, the more we find out, oh, wow, I guess that it really is kind of a major deal here in Missouri.
Yeah, so we talked to a guy where a friend of his was flying in from Japan, going through all the COVID quarantining and all that just so he could fish Missouri in a tournament.
Yep.
So.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not only great fishing. It's real challenging, but some of the conditions here are just, you know, with the such a rocky base down here. Of course, we're at, you know, all we raise down here is rocks, and you can't dig a hole in the yard, man, without hitting solid bedrock down here in southern Missouri. But it makes for really good lakes, a lot of good structure, deep holes. I mean, so yeah, I mean, all that. Love to hunt, man. I love the outdoors, but if I had to say my favorite thing, man, it's got to be, you know, just the quality water we got is unreal, river and lake. So
yep. Nice.
That's the best part about that question because, really, I mean, we're here on a whitetail topic.
You never know what you're going to hear.
Never seen that one coming, you know, honestly. So yeah. that's one of the best parts about Missouri is the diversity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we're almost 5 minutes into recording and we haven't talked about whitetail yet. That's what's cool is you don't even know. You never know what that answer is going to bring.
That's right.
I did not see that one coming, I'll be honest with you. That's pretty cool. So, well, anyway, Jeff, to pivot back to whitetail, Quest Hunting. We've known about it since it started in Missouri and of course it's expanded over several states over the past few years.
How many states are you guys in now?
So 2020 we're in 9.
Okay.
And we started out really, I guess our plan was just kind of start in Missouri. And that kind of went viral on social media, and we ended up in four states. So that was 2018. Gotcha. So we've grown four to last year, and this year's nine.
Nice.
Okay.
Awesome.
So how did it get all started? I mean, I kind of read your bio about it, but you know, there's people that haven't. What? How'd you start all this?
What was the thought process?
Well, you know, I didn't mean to do the segue. I swear to God, guys, I didn't mean to do it. Fishing actually had a lot to do with it. We were, Brian and I have been friends younger. He's younger than I am. But Brian's older brother and I were pretty much the same age. And so we'd been around each other forever, and we'd meet once a month or so, every couple of weeks anyway, to go eat lunch. And I was kind of in the business world, and he was owning and operating a lawn service, and of all things, and we would get together and have lunch and just brainstorm on some idea. We both just were real passionate about entrepreneurism, and I started a few companies, and he had two, and we just really wanted to do something in the space we liked, you know, the outdoor industry. And we were talking one day over at a steakhouse, Springfield, Missouri, and I was talking about fishing tournaments, and I said, you know, it's just a shame in the hunting industry, there's nothing there. You know, I said, my opinion is, you know, Americans in general are real competitive, but man, hunters and fishermen are some of the most competitive, passionate people I know. I mean, it takes a lot of passion to do any of it, you know, get up in the morning, freezing cold weather. And, you know, even if you're competing with yourself or your, you know, last season's kill or whatever, I mean, it just takes a passion and a competitive drive to do what all of us do. And I said, you know, for me, that's always been fishing tournaments. You get to be out of, you know, high school and college, and it's kind of hard to find ways to get a competitive outlet, and fishing tournaments were that for me. And I said, you know, it's just a shame there's not something like that in the whitetail hunting industry. I mean, it just seems crazy. And we kicked around a couple ideas about, you know, putting on a tournament, maybe kind of as a side deal just for fun, and doing it kind of on a physical location. And we looked at each other and said, no, man, the way to do this is online. And let people hunt where they hunt, and let them manage their crazy good prizes, and maybe create sort of the startings of a buying group with really deep discounts on products. And honestly, man, that's kind of where it came from, right down to the format, you know, the two-person teams. If you really look at the rules of our tournament, it kind of mirrors a bass tournament.
I say a lot of – yeah, now that you're saying this, it really does. You think about a fishing tournament, it all makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's so easy to put together a bass tournament, right, because – All the fish that are in that tournament, I wouldn't say easy, maybe. It's easier because all the fish that are in that tournament are going to be caught that weekend.
Yeah.
Right.
In one body of water.
Right, in that body of water or that county or whatever you do.
Yeah.
With whitetail hunting, I've got from September 15th to January 15th in Missouri.
Exactly.
To harvest my buck. And or at least one buck. And so you're like, okay, how the hell we do this? The logistics, you know, then you got to think about, all right, not everybody has the opportunity to shoot 190-inch deer. Some people might be hunting public. Some people just up north in Missouri. Some people southern Missouri. So how can you try to, you know, even the playing field a little bit? You know, I've been in tournaments before, or, you know, there's buddies that do like smaller ones, and they seem pretty cool too. But I don't think I've ever seen one where there's a team set up.
Well, you got your big buck contest, biggest wins, and that's it. And this one, explain that, Jeff, if you don't mind, kind of walk through the I guess the basics of it for those who don't know. I mean, it's a partner tournament, but
it's a partner tournament big buck contest is what it is, essentially.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and going back to that whole tournament format, I mean, we wanted the 200 teams because – well, I mean, let's face it, there's a reason there's two guys in an amateur bass tournament, because it's easier to get a limit, right? There's a reason that pros fish by themselves, and the rest of us amateurs in the fishing world fish in pairs, because you get your odds of, you know, filling a bag and getting five good fish are much, much higher. Mm-hmm. And so we really worked hard on that format and said, look, we don't want this to be about, you know, the top 1% of hunters that have this great access to 1,000 acres of private land with food plots, killing booners every year,
right?
To just become this elite type event. And so we really studied and said, look, this two man or two person format makes it more of an even playing field, because it's a lot harder to kill two nice deer. And we see it every year, right? So this is our third year. Last year, I think our tournament stranded. When I say stranded, only one team member shot a buck at all. We probably had about 50 to 60 booners stranded last year. Didn't make top 10 in any of the states.
Oh my goodness.
Dang.
And so that we like that. I mean, that's the kind of thing we tell people is you really don't. In fact, if you look at our top 10s over the last 2 or 3 years, it's normally not booners in those top 10s. It's just two good deer. It's two 150s or 145 and a 160.
Yep.
Still big deer, especially for Southern Missouri, but it's winnable. And so every year there's people in our top five that are just like, man, I just didn't think I had a chance. I mean, coming into this, we wanted to do it for fun, but holy cow, we're here. And, you know, we had both of our target bucks walk by. We got it done. And so that's kind of the rationale for the two-person format. And it's really worked well for us going forward. But, yeah, you just – basics, you know, it's two-person teams. You can score up to three deer as a team, so you get kind of an upgrade buck. We try not to call it a cull buck, but that's really what it is.
Gotcha.
And in states where you get more than one buck tag, that's really cool because you can get a late season buck or, you know, kill one with a bow and then hunt during the rut. Whichever buck you kill that helps you the most, you can replace your existing score.
All right, we are back at it. Sorry folks, we hopefully fixed these technical issues. So hopefully Jeff won't sound like he's talking over a jackhammer anymore, which, Jeff, you probably never heard any of that, but you'll notice it in the show a little bit. So anyway, okay, you were kind of explaining the advantage of the two-person team, and you had just gotten to the three-buck or the coal buck or whatever you were kind of explaining it as.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a cool feature, especially for states where there's more than one buck tag available, like Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So each team can score up to three, and we kind of put that – we did a lot of work on this in the beginning and really talked to some focus groups and brought people in. And so there's a lot of things that go behind these, but that's been a real popular feature. So you can – you know, if you both happen to go out and kill an early season, you know, buck with a bow, hunt the rut, you know, whichever one of you harvest a buck that helps your overall team score, which, by the way, is total gross inches of your two best bucks.
That's the best feature. I'm glad it's not net, in my personal opinion. I mean, the gross part I really like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice, man. We got a little bit of early feedback about the gross side, but it works well for us. It's real streamlined because basically what happens is you go hunt during the season. You and your partner don't have to hunt the same area. In fact, you don't even have to be from the state. You just have to have the ability to hunt there. You can hunt, in fact, in totally different opposite ends of the state. You submit your bucks. You score them at home, which is another really important thing for us. We wanted it to be super easy and not intimidating and people having to drive all over the place to get deer checked in. So
right.
we send out trophy tape, which mm-hmm. is, if you've never used it, it's a pretty cool product. I mean, it's basically almost like a electric kind of consistency, a little lighter.
Yep.
That has a tape measure on it. So your last tear after you make your mass measurements and put all your main beam and G1s, G2s, et cetera, when your last tear basically tells you, you know, where you're at in terms of gross inches. So it works really good. We have a little process to kind of screen some of those when they come in electronically. Most of them come in fine. And then that becomes your unofficial score as a team all year long. And you'll notice that on leaderboard, it'll say unofficial scoreboard, leaderboard. And then if your total gross inches puts you anywhere near the top 10. In fact, we encourage, you know, our year-end banquets are open to the public, but anybody even close to the top 10, we always encourage them to come to the banquet. Pope and Young's there to officially score all those bucks. And
that's awesome.
It's cool.
If you're in the top 10, or, you know, we've even had a few years, at least last year, I know we had a few teams that jumped from like 11th or 12th into the top 10 prize pack. So,
wow.
It's a good idea to be there. Cause we, you know, we'll see some variation, you know, you sometimes see 8 to 10 inch variation on, home scoring, you know, guys, just not a lot of experience with it. Pope and Young scoring them,
yeah.
So we can you can change it that night at the banquet, which is kind of a cool part of it. But
I mean, it's a you got to know what you're doing when it comes to scoring a deer. You can't just pick up and do it. It takes a little bit of practice. You're going to be off a few times,
potentially.
You know?
Yeah,
potentially.
Yeah,
you know. So
yeah, for sure. It's and you know, you guys know this. I mean, you get two Pope and Young scorers back to back, and they're going to score it different almost every time,
right.
At least a little bit.
You're within eighths, so probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's always a little variation there, you know. So we deal with a little bit of that. And we, like I said, we kind of screen them when we get those photo submissions in for deer submissions during the season. If we see one that just there's no way it's going to go 160, I mean, we try to work with them on that and get a get a little bit more accurate measurement before we go on the leaderboard with it.
Yeah,
I'm going to need you to do that again. But,
yeah. And like I said, I like about the two deer system is, you know, there are a lot of people that don't hunt for inches, and that's awesome. And right. And I'm not necessarily one. I mean, I've got a deer on my list right now that lost half his rack, but he looks like he's almost 8 years old. I mean, he is old for right. a deer. Yeah. He wasn't even a big deer to begin with. I bet he would have maybe scored 135 as an 8-pointer at this point in his life. And he was a little bit bigger last year, and he's gotten smaller this year. So I think he's on the downhill slide. But because he's mature, I think I would have harvested him. And I still might, even with half a rack, and he's going to score freaking 100 inches probably. I mean, or not even that at this point.
So he's got half a rack and 100 inches.
Yeah, so he's going to be like a 75-inch deer, but he's mature. He's you know, he's a mature deer. So
right.
It's not always – we get that, and I know people are probably sometimes scoff at this sort of stuff, but what's cool is you can be a guy or gal that hunts just your average deer. Yeah. And if you shoot a 140-inch deer and your buddy or whoever shoots another 140-inch deer, you have the ability to potentially win. Might not. I've noticed the score is going up and up every year. But
I think it's more popular.
Yeah, people get, what did you say about it earlier, Jeff? Competitive. And they sign up and they want to win.
Yeah, so,
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, and you know, we try to pack the prize pack, and we got a lot of people that, you know, they always go right to those Polaris Rangers in each state and go, man, what's it going to take to win first? But, you know, frankly, there's some really killer prizes all the way down to 10th place. So, you know, if you are in that 140, 150 class deer as a team, you know, you still got a very good shot at winning some awesome prizes and taking home a trophy. And we, you know, of course, we load up the banquet, which is, I think last year we gave away $6,000 or $8,000 worth of stuff at each banquet. So
that's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah,
I mean, it's cool. It's cool to be there. It's a fun night.
Yeah, last year a buddy of mine actually placed, and I don't really remember which place he placed, but I know he went home with a bunch of different stands. So I mean, he had almost a trailer load of stands. So yeah, I mean, you can't beat that.
The very first year, if my partner would have shot one of the deer, he was sending me pictures of this deer. I'm like, shoot him, shoot him. Like I had placed on there like very early. I got mine, and I was like, if you shoot him, we are on the top 10. Like we'd make the you know, website deal. Just you know. And he didn't, and he was after. There's another big one he was after, and decided not to. And but I followed it and tracked it, and kind of guessed the score. And I think we would have easily been in new bows and probably new stands. So
hindsight's always 20/20. I think the very first year you guys had this tournament, Jeff, me and Micah. I'm a cheap ass, so I didn't want to spend $50 or whatever the hell it was at the time, you know, to enter a tournament. I'm like, ah, screw it. And if we had just done it, I think we would have placed like second overall based on the scores. We had a good year hunting.
Yeah,
it was good year for everybody. Son of a bitch.
I tried to tell him. They didn't. Yeah.
He didn't. Andy's like, you need to enter. So,
but that's just it. That's just part of it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and you know, part of this too is we get a lot of this feedback throughout the season. It's one of our favorite parts of doing this is we kind of liken this sometimes to fantasy football. Like,
yeah.
You know, $50 to $100 getting off all that good stuff. And really what it's about is just, yeah, you want to win, of course, but it enhances, it kind of gamifies the season for you. You're going to watch football anyway.
Yep.
You know, being able to follow the action and see other people and kind of be a part of that, it makes it kind of cool. You know, there's a lot of strategy involved in this particular tournament. I mean, you have to submit your bucks within 24 hours of harvest, for example. So just the example you guys just brought up, we've had a lot of people just get skunked or not, you know, only have one buck submission as a team because they held out and waited and they, you know, and it is kind of a, you know, we've had people in Missouri call us where, you know, obviously more than one buck state and say, hey, man, I just shot a deer. I don't know whether to submit him or not. We just tell them, well, man, that's up to you. It's kind of like
nothing's kind of like guaranteed.
No tolling rules in August. Yeah, you either got to score it now or it's gone, you know. And so there is some strategy to it, and that's what kind of makes it fun. And you know, it is about the tournament, but people that do it get in here and really participate and hopefully come to the banquets that you're in and stuff. They love it because it's just it's like I said, it's kind of like a fantasy football pool.
Yeah. There's a lot of camaraderie that goes along with it. You know, just I love checking the leaderboards of other states, just looking out and seeing, you know, what other states are doing. And you're right, you follow people from time to time, like, oh, this one's on here. If his buddy kills one, he'll jump. I mean, even if his buddy gets this deer, they'll jump way up here. And, you know, it is that fantasy football style meets a fishing tournament and meets, kinds of stuff there.
No, I just said we just had a team in Kentucky that, and this is the cool part about this in the early, because Kentucky just opened last weekend. So we got, you know, we already have one team with two deer submissions, and Kentucky's a one-buck state, right?
I saw that. Oh, wow. I checked that leaderboard earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, one dude already shot a 207-inch deer in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, his buddy comes through. They're going to be in it.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's a great example, because last year we had a 203 or 206 right out of the gate, same deal, and his partner never shot a buck. So.
Ouch.
If I was that guy.
You know, you just don't know, and that's why people just hang on. In fact, that same anticipation on that leaderboard, I'm telling you, it'll run all the way up till the night of the banquet, because what happens at the banquet is Pope and Young scores those deers, all the bucks for everybody from every state. We don't hand them their score sheet, so they don't know until we get on stage.
Oh, cool.
To make the announcement. Oh, wow.
If they, because, you know, last year we had three states at the Springfield banquet where first place fell out of first. So, you know, you had people up there going, hey, we got this in the bag. We're taking home some Polaris Rangers, and they ended up with muddy bull blinds, but somebody else jumped up in advance. So you don't know until we actually announce it there who the winner is. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Well, and another thing you guys are starting to do, now, from my reading, this is only in Missouri and Iowa for this year. You've also got a silver tournament in Missouri and Iowa. Why don't you explain to everybody what that means, and why did you start a gold and a silver tournament in at least these two states, and what kind of maybe your plans are going forward with that?
Yeah, so the silver tournament, I'll just throw myself on the sword, is probably for more guys like me that can kill bucks, but not, you know, maybe don't feel like I compete with some of the other guys out there with.
We're all raising our hands right now.
Yeah, that's me, right? So we kind of wanted to think, I tell people to think of it like a B flight, right? So it's a separate tournament. It's a little cheaper to get in. We have a $10,000 prize pack for five places. You still get all the great discounts to over 40 companies. But you get the ability to compete at a level where you really think you got a chance. And even though we always say it's anybody's game, and we still believe that, you know, some people just feel more comfortable getting in that silver bracket. So we, in the states where we've seen really heavy increases in just overall gross scoring, we always offer, we will continue to offer the states as they grow.
Yeah, that's
just
cool.
Just for folks that want fun and, you know, and get in it. We have families that get in this thing, you know, five and six different teams within one family, and they kind of, you know, talk a little crap to each other all season and have their own little betting on the side. That's what it's all about, right? So we wanted to do the silver for folks that just saw those scores last year and were like, holy crap, especially in Iowa.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and, so, and it's working good.
I like the team names. I like reading some of the team names.
Yeah. There's actually some of those team names at the banquet where I have a hard time reading them on stage. They're pretty suggestive, and we get some really good ones.
Yeah, no, I remember some of my slow pitch softball days. Our team names were a little bit racy on the co-ed side. So
yeah,
that's cool.
That's right.
Well, I saw that, and I think that's you know, important to note, because, for instance, being in Missouri, the winners last year, you know, their scores, you know, if you're a guy or a gal that hunts down in Southeast Missouri or, you know, Southern Missouri, where they're maybe not just as big racked, you're talking about two deer that, even if we shot 250-inch deer, we're not going to come close to beating this team type of deal.
Right.
Which,
right.
By the
right.
way, did anybody notice who the winner in Missouri was last year?
Who?
I do.
Anybody watch baseball? He's a Hall of Fame baseball pitcher. I'm pretty sure Roy Oswalt won in Missouri.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I looked at the name, I'm like, Roy Oswalt, and then I looked at the picture, I'm like, yep, that's him.
That's pretty cool.
So I remember watching him growing up playing baseball, so that's pretty cool. But, you know, that silver tournament is the opportunity that, hey, if you aren't off after the biggest deer, or let's say you only hunt public land, and maybe the biggest deer in public is going to be 135 inches where you're at, and you and your buddy are both going after a couple of them, that gives you opportunity to get top 10 placing in a silver, or you might even place top 10 on the gold side too, but it gives maybe a little more incentive to sign up.
Well, if you're like us, you know, I think all of us played sports through high school and whatnot, and I mean, you have that, like you said, that competitive edge, and you want to feel that itch, I guess, to compete, and then you also have that passion for hunting. It's a great way to do that.
Yeah. So another question we thought of, and I don't know if you've ever even been asked this. We kind of talked about some of the stuff we might talk about with you before we started, but has anybody ever brought up expanding team size numbers to you? And have you thought about it, and you know, anything that you're looking at in the future for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's come up a couple of times. It's not been something that's been like just an overwhelming question that we get, but we thought about it. I mean, I think as this thing grows, we've got a whole bunch. In fact, we've got a whole marker board full of ideas for the future. The hard part about this business for us is that when we came into the industry, there was really nothing like this. So we spent a lot of time and money just educating people on what Quest is. I mean, I can't put up a billboard with Quest Hunt Co. on it and people know what it is, because tournaments in the hunting industry, at least at this scale, have never really been done very much. So we wanted to keep it really simple, keep a really linear format, focus on one species animal, because that's another question we get sometimes, is when you get to broaden out to mule deer and turkey and everything else. But we wanted purposely to try to keep it as simple until we felt like people really had their arms around this format. And we feel like now, after 3 years, we get a lot fewer questions about format. We're much probably better known mm-hmm. in all the states we're at. So it's gotten a lot easier. Now I think we're starting to dabble as maybe exploring some of these new and maybe divisions and some other things. But for now, we've just decided to keep it where it's at. In fact, probably more than we get questions about, you know, if you thought about expanding the team numbers, we get probably more questions about, hey, can you help me find a partner? But
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
You know, we do a lot of match.com stuff. I mean, we get a lot of people call us and we'll, you know, I'll be like, hey, I got a guy in Wisconsin looking for somebody. We've made some teams just for putting people together, which is, again, is really cool, because, you know, we not only have friends, people that are friends now in the same state that would have never known each other, but we have people in Arkansas that are best friends with people in Pennsylvania and Iowa now. And it is kind of a cool deal, but I don't know. We may look at expanding that in the future, but
so that'd be kind of a cool idea.
At least for the next year or so, I think we're going to be where we're at.
That'd be a cool idea, maybe like a blind draw. Like you have a
you don't got a partner. Everybody puts their name in the hat, and then hey, you're with this guy. So
please, nobody draw Nate. Please, nobody draw Nate. Well, and I'm sure you've also got the same question about, you know, getting. I don't even know like the way to explain it, but do people get bonus points for killing them with a bow versus a gun, or public versus private? You know, I'm sure you've gotten those questions before too. Legitimate questions sometimes. I mean, they're, you know.
But you kind of got to draw the line.
But you got to draw, you can't keep making exceptions, I guess.
Right.
Call it.
Yeah, and like I said, that marker board we have, all the division ideas and cool things to do and categories and, you know, different size teams. And all, there's a whole list of those that have been there since the beginning. But it was really our intention to try to make this, hey, let's drive this one thing and make it super simple. You know, get people interested in it. Maybe we can, once we have the notoriety in the industry, we can start expanding and doing some things. But we get some guys, some hardcore bow hunters who are like, man, there shouldn't be guys hunting in this thing. And I tell you what, after 3 years, we're excited this year. Our leaderboard actually shows you whether it was a gun or a bow kill right on the leaderboard.
Yeah, I saw that.
The new addition this year with public deer. And we've got some other things that are going to show up on the leaderboard. But what you'll find is, if this year is like every other year we've had, is the majority of our top 10 bucks are bow kills anyway. It's kind of interesting. It's, you know, we get a lot of early season deer, and you'll watch this as the submissions come in. So, you know, we kind of looked at, we've told everybody, look, we try to design this tournament for everybody, including gun hunters. You know, in most states, just like Missouri, you know, you have a much longer time to hunt with a bow than you do the rifle. There's definitely some early season advantage there. So we haven't really found equity, really, gun and bow kills. In fact, the lion's share of our top 10 bucks will be bow kills. So it seems to be working. I mean, who knows in the future? That's another one of the things on the marker board, right? Bow division.
Yeah.
That may be something we look at,
Well, and that's never been, I mean, I've always, I think we've all said this on our show, you know, anybody that's listened to all 18 or whatever we've had so far, whatever floats your boat, floats your boat. If you are a gun hunter, you're a gun hunter. If you're a bow hunter, you're a bow hunter. I don't care what you use to harvest animals. I mean,
as long as it's ethical. And
yeah, as long as you're doing it the right way, you got your tags and you're not, you know, spotlighting them at night.
Exactly.
You know, that's what, that's all I really care about. But to segue, and I didn't even do that on purpose, by the way.
I know, I was about to go in there. But have you guys, has it been an issue with cheating? Because, I mean, what's stopping some guy from going into some high fence area, killing a deer, and then, you know, using that? Have y'all ever had issues with cheating, and what have y'all done about it?
Yeah, so a great question. In fact, I'd tell you that's probably the number one we get, is just integrity of the tournament. How do you regulate? So we have some things built in just in the rules themselves for early checkpoints. Anymore, I think we run kind of, it seems like we run a hotline, people calling in saying, hey, this guy, check this thing out. So we do a lot of research on, you know, submissions too throughout the season. But just going back to the whole fishing tournament thing, we run it the same way. So when you come in top 10, you take a lie detector test, total independent company. And there's this whole series of questions they ask based on the state. And it's aimed at making sure you follow the rules of your local, you know, game and fish laws. And I can tell you that we do a pretty good job. You'll start hearing us a lot on social media now that the tournament started. Mm-hmm. We remind people all the time. They sign a waiver when they get in that says they're willing to take that lie detector test. And I think it's kind of headed off a lot of our problems. We have had one disqualification in 3 years.
That's pretty darn good.
That happened at the lie detector test. Yeah. You know what happens, and Brian brought this up one day, and I think he's right. We've gotten some calls before about certain people, and sometimes those people just magically don't submit a second deer. And I'm not sure that's an accident, right?
Right.
And so the fear of taking a lie detector test, what we tell people is, look, guys, this is a big stage. We're going to have, you know, we live stream our banquets online. We'll have about 800 people, 900 people at our Springfield banquet this year. You know, you don't want to get caught there. I mean, it's not a good look. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it does kind of steer some people off of that. And thank goodness, because we didn't even like the one that we don't like to disqualify people. It's kind of a worst nightmare for us too. But we've only had to do it once, and so I think that's a pretty good record. But that test it'll all come out. I mean, if there's something that you didn't do right, especially if it's flagrant, it's going to all come out during those question sessions. So
yeah, and that's probably not
to do it.
That's probably not talking about the person that accidentally scored the deer as, not even accidentally, they scored their deer as a 168 and it actually was a 164 and 3/4,
exactly,
or 3/8 or something. So, yeah. You know, that's probably not what you're talking about. It's those, and I think it's the whole locks keep honest people honest.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah,
a dishonest right, person right. knows that they're going to have to take a lie detector or something to win something, they're not going to sign up. You know, if they're going to go spotlight something or if they're going to, you know, do something really, really backhanded,
right.
they're probably not going to sign up
because right.
they know they're going to get caught.
Yep.
So that's a really good idea, yeah. although I've never taken a lie detector. I'd freak the shit out.
I would think I would just be nervous going into it, and I would just feel miserably, even though I wouldn't do anything wrong.
I swear I wasn't lying.
I was just scared. But that's good. And
I've only actually taken one.
Yeah. And were you
taken
nervous?
One, but it was actually at a fishing tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
do the same
I,
thing
I
there.
Failed my name. Yeah.
You say you failed
yeah,
your
yeah,
name?
Yeah, that's where we kind of got the whole, again, the format. He said, hey, what is your name? I think he asked me, is your name Jeff DeCarlos? My real name's Jeffrey, and nobody calls me that. But in my head, I was thinking, well.
It's a trick question.
Yes, no, yes, no. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Oh, that's funny.
Next question. Yeah. He's just like, dude, just calm down. You're all right. Like, and it really, the guy we use, he does a lot with, you know, law enforcement stuff. He's an expert in the industry, and he is really good about calming you down. Because our intention, like you just mentioned, is not to catch people that are in the back of their head. I'm pretty sure it was safe flight, I mean, or something to that effect. I mean, the questions are geared to people that just really violate the law. I mean, right. were the rules of the tournament. As long as you're doing your best and you're hunting ethically and we're not targeting those people, so we're not trying to trick people. It's just if you did something wrong, it will come out. And so
it's worked, and we've been fortunate, like I said, not to have more. Honestly, I think that's, you know, more of opting out of coming to the banquet than it is a factor of our test itself. But
right.
So at the banquet, you have them bring the racks, obviously. What, like you said, some people get bumped around. So how many deer do you score at the banquets?
Okay, so this year in Springfield, we'll have about 7 states here. So you'll have, we're open to the public too for these events. So you have at least 20 deer per state. In most cases, a few more than that.
Okay.
And we start scoring on Friday, and so our closest states are, you know, they're scheduled to come in on Friday afternoon, evening. And we'll have about 30 Pope and Young scores here this year in Springfield at this big event.
Wow.
And they work till late hours of the night, and then they get up again Saturday morning and do it all day Saturday. So, cool.
It's
a chore.
Yeah, do the people that are coming to the event see the racks, or is this just kind of all behind the scenes?
Well, you know, it's a great question because we've always wanted to have this massive display.
Oh, it'd be cool. Yeah.
And last year we sold out tickets. Last year we were at a venue we didn't anticipate we could take up to 350 people. And we probably could have sold 450 tickets. We added states to this banquet this year. So this year we actually rented out a convention center and a hotel. And so we're going to, have a plenty of room, actually there to see all the biggest bucks from all 7 states, at least 7 of the 9 states.
You guys want to go to Springfield?
I say, yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
And Jeff, you talked about this before we started talking about the check-in station style, you know, missing that and wishing to go back and see, you know, it's kind of cool as a kid growing up. Seeing everybody's deer come in, and I mean, you're talking
recreating
about.
That,
yeah,
in some sense.
Yeah, that night for us is by far the pinnacle of our year because we grind and we grind and we grind. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of marketing stuff we do all year long, and we get to see everybody's stories kind of through pictures and submissions, and we meet people through DMs. And normally we go to a lot of trade shows. Of course, with COVID, it's been different this year.
Right.
But the banquet is when we get to see all these people we've met virtually kind of come together, and we get to meet them in person. We've made so many friends. And the night's about, you know, there's a dinner. Actually, this year on Saturday, we have Heartland Bowhunter coming into a film school at the event. We have, you know, we'll have some speakers there. We're trying to talk the juries into coming down and doing some stuff with us because we're kind of partnering with them on DeerCast for 2020. So we'll.
You guys need Missouri Woods and Water to come and speak, or
I don't know. I don't know if we can afford it.
Oh shit! Oh man! Well, are we big time? And I don't know it.
Yeah, I bet you could. You got Busch Light there.
Oh yeah, it is a blast. We'll have 5 bars at the event this year. We serve there. There's a country music concert after the banquet. It's super high energy. I mean, it's honestly, if you guys come this year, and I hope you do, it'll be 700 to 900 of the best people you ever met. I mean, it's just, we've never had an issue with people getting rowdy. I mean, it's literally our community, probably we're most proud of. It's just really good people, outdoor enthusiasts, just rooting for other people. It's, I don't want to get too kumbaya here, but it really is a really nice event. I mean, it's just people leave there, and I mean, we now have, after our third year, we have people that come to the banquet. In fact, we've already sold a bunch of banquet tickets online for February, and a lot of these people, you know, they don't even know if they're going to be in the top 10, but they're coming anyway, and it's because it's just a cool night. I mean, it really, really is. Good. So
what is the cost of your banquet
tickets? Speaking at the event or not, you guys should come.
Yeah. Well, it's a bunch of like-minded individuals.
Yeah, it's together. People that I want to be around. You know, I mean, we got the same, you know, same likes and all that. It's people that you get along with, you know, for the most part. And like you said, you never had any squabbles there. So, you know, everybody's cool and, you know, it's just a good time. Sounds like a great time anyways.
Yeah, Andy, we want to ask your question again.
Absolutely.
I think you probably mentioned this a while ago, but just for the listeners that didn't catch it, how much is a banquet ticket?
Yeah, the banquet tickets are $25. Like I said, that includes your dinner, the concert, and the banquet.
Oh wow!
We do some other things, you know, that are extra. So we, you know, Sean Luchtel, Michael Hunsucker will be down doing a film school on Saturday. So we try to do some things where if you want to participate in that, it's an option at a deep discounted rate.
Cool,
that's cool.
You know, some speakers there and some other. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun if you've And then we get people discount tickets to Wonders of Wildlife while they're in town if they want to do that on Saturday. And it's kind of becomes a whole weekend for people. They come down and, you know, kind of use it as a mini vacation. It's well worth it. I mean, we tried real hard to keep that pricing where it is.
What do you think about any of the, like, whitetails, you know, banquets or anything like that? Heck, that's more than $25, and you're not getting the quality of deer, but you're not getting the experience of this year tops, you know, seven states top biggest deer. That's awesome.
I mean, dude, can you imagine sitting there? I have not been to one.
Nope.
I think it'd be fun watching each top 10 be announced.
And them not knowing it.
And nobody knowing really, like, okay, am I 10th, am I 7th?
Yep.
You know, because you could probably have 2 inches between 10th and 5th or 10th and 1st,
right,
potentially. And it all comes down to what the Pope and Young scorers, you know, really score the buck as. And if you're just an eighth of an inch off, you might be going from 1st to 3rd. And that would be cool to watch. I wouldn't want to be one of the ones that are nervous as shit, you know, in there. Well, maybe I hope
I kill a big enough deer to worry about it, yeah.
But, you know, it'd be really cool to be just sitting there watching that because, you know, you get to see people succeed in you know, like we said, we're competitive people. We all grew up playing sports, and you're competitive, and you also like to see people that you might not even know, but that are like you, if that makes any sense. Like, hey, this person's a hunter, you know, they seem to be cool, succeed,
right?
And you know you do feel good for them, so
right,
you get to do that seven times, seven different states.
That's right. So one sign up for the tournament wise, I mean, what's the deadline to sign up? How to, you know, give our listeners a breakdown of how they can get involved in this tournament if they want to?
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, sign up's pretty easy. It's a pretty streamlined process. It's at www.questhuntco.com. You just click on enter the tournament, pick your state, enter your partner's information. It's pretty automatic after that, and you'll get the cost right now to sign up is $200 a team, $100 a person.
Okay.
It starts out the year at 75, so we really encourage people to get in early. In fact, we'll open up entries available at the banquet in February this year for 2021, which is the cheapest time to get in and get to enjoy the discounts longer. I mentioned the discounts, but as soon as you sign up, you get an email, three sponsors, I think, this year, and you get up to 50% off all that product for the entire – so those codes expire December 31st of this year.
Okay.
So the earlier the better, for sure. Plus, we do a lot of giveaways every month. If you're in the tournament this month, I think we haven't even announced this yet, so you guys are getting kind of a sneak peek. But I believe we're going to launch a Quiet Cat Bike giveaway for anybody signing up for the tournament.
Nice.
Before the end of this month, I think.
We just had an exclusive.
What does that mean?
Not much, but.
Damn it.
So there is a deadline. There's no deadline, I should say. You signed up before you harvest your buck. So you can't go kill a buck and then in the turn. That's one of the lie detector questions.
Gotcha.
So we encourage people to get in, you know, early, but you can sign up late. We get a lot of, rifle hunters will sign up, you know, in about a month from now.
Mm-hmm.
So we get another wave then. So there's none. In fact, if you're a muzzleloader guy, we do get some people just sign up in late November. You know, you can do that as well. But
awesome.
If you want to use those discounts, and those discounts are big. I mean, we have a lot of people that enter the tournament more like a Sam's Club membership. They submit a deer if they happen to get a big one, but really they get into the tournament. Last month we had stealth cameras, every SKU they had 50% off. So, I mean, if you're going to buy a cell camera or a stand, you're going to make more than your money back in one purchase. So it's just, we tell people, like, look, I mean, yeah, there's an entry fee, but you're going to buy anything, it's well worth it.
It's a lot like, what was it, Sportsman's Guide? Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get in there, get your discount.
I literally just bought 5 stealth cams this year, or was it 4?
You maybe messed 4 or 5. Should have been in, should have been in the tournament already.
Yeah, and once, I pussyfooted around and I haven't signed up yet, so I need to get it done.
There you go.
Well, what else you guys got for him?
Man, I'm going to have to get on there and get myself signed up for this year, and I think I've done it so far every year, so I'm excited to do it again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's always fun to compete with each other and, you know, have that camaraderie with your teammate and give your teammate a hard time if they're getting their side done or something. But at the very least, going to the at least for guys like us, I mean, we're 2 hours from Springfield.
It takes not that far.
It's just shoot right down 13 and boom, I'm there. So
yeah, if anything, I think we should definitely make it down to the banquet.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Can we count that off as a business trip?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know how to run a business any better than I know how to run a podcast.
Yeah. Killing it.
So you got anything else for us, Jeff?
Man, that's it. Just, follow us. We do a lot of information, put a lot of videos out on Instagram, Facebook. You know, follow us there. I think we're Quest_HuntCo. Is that right? Yeah, I think that's right on Instagram, and just Quest Hunt Co. on Facebook. So
perfect.
Definitely a good spot for information if you have any questions. There's lots of videos on YouTube. So, yeah, anything you got, just reach out to us. We try to answer every single DM. If you get a response, it'll be from one of Brian or I every time. So,
we'll
answer anything you got.
We'll link your website and your Instagram and all that when we release the show. And
that's right.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that for you. And give our regards to Brian too. Wish we could have had him on with you, but we appreciate you coming on last second this and having some fun, man.
And for all of our listeners that get in their tournament, good luck to you guys. Wish you guys the best of luck. Hopefully, one of you guys come home with that Polaris Ranger.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you in Springfield.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
That's right.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate you.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye. Catch you later.
There it is. Another show in the books.
There it is. That
under
it
the books.
On the books?
I don't know.
Books?
No comment.
I don't read books. I don't know. I set stuff on them normally.
that was a good one. Jeff gave us some really good info about what Quest Hunting Tournament is, and I'm excited. I want to go down to the banquet this year.
The banquet's on my list for sure.
I think we have to.
I could give a shit if we do anything in the tournament.
Yeah, if we win the tournament, but being around all
sounds like it'd be really fun just to see the top 10.
Talk to those guys, get some of those stories. I'm sure you go down there, there's obviously going to be a ton of hunters, and just to get to talk with all of them, they're all going to have a different story. So that's always fun.
Yeah. So,
man, we sure asked him a lot of questions.
Do you feel that way?
I think we should have him fill out a questionnaire.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
gee. That was your worst one yet.
Yeah, that was by far the worst. Oh, man.
You were struggling on that.
I thought
that
was great. I've been planning that one the whole time.
You sure asked him a lot of questions. Yeah, that's what this freaking show is about.
Yeah, that's kind of what we do. But nice try. Nice try.
Yeah, hey, we appreciate your effort. You are a member of this team, and we value what you put into it, which is almost nothing.
I do what I can when I can sometimes.
All right.
All right, well, guys, enjoy the show.
All right, we'll holler at you later.